Does baptism now save us? Welcome to the Andrew Paul Cannon podcast. Today I'm thinking about baptism. Does baptism save us? Is it required for salvation? The answer may surprise. Yes and no. We have some youth in my community leading a Bible study and talking about the differences in denominations. You know, why people believe differently and tackling actually quite difficult subjects in Scripture, subjects many people disagree about and they're hoping to accomplish in a few days what people haven't accomplished in decades, centuries, right? They are deep diving into Scripture in a way most adults I know just won't. I personally am very impressed by their desire to know the Bible and believe what it says. We should all follow their example. We have some extraordinary teenagers in our midst. Now, there are verses in the Bible that explicitly tell us that baptism saves. There are other verses that tell us we are saved only by grace and no work of our own. In response to this conversation happening in the midst of my community and among our young people, which, you know, that's usually where revival begins, I want to encourage the church in my community. I also want to encourage the church worldwide overall. My heart is to bring unity and closeness with Christ in our community, in my community, and around the world. No matter which denomination people choose, no matter which church people choose to attend, Christ is not divided. Neither are we. There is truly only one church. We are humble seekers of truth brought together by the providence of God Himself. No denomination is quite as important as the kingdom of Christ. And while we pursue unity in the faith on this earth, there is a day set when all dividing lines will be erased and we will be with Jesus together forever. Now we understand in part, but then we will know fully as we are known. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Now there's not a person who believes anything and thinks himself incorrect. Now we all read the same Bible, and we come to different conclusions in our pursuit of correct belief. And so I first want to encourage us toward humility in any conversation on any topic. Knowledge always puffs up. Love always edifies. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, there is no profitable conversation in which the participants are simply trying to prove their position. Now, that is puffed up knowledge. And if any conversation is to be had at all, let us always seek to edify one another, especially in the pursuit of truth, which I think is what we want. Pride leads us into many things. Even the dividing lines we draw between our groups within God's kingdom. And never does God tell us in Scripture that we have to know exactly how things work in perfect order. How prideful would that be? But as we strive to know more, let us strive humbly and let us strive together. Now, first, I want to offer some encouragement. Everyone believes that water baptism is important. And there are many who believe baptism actually washes away sins. There are some who believe baptism is so important that infants should be baptized, either for their salvation or into the covenant community of God as part of His covenant promise. And there are some who believe baptism is a necessary step in God's salvific work. And there are some who believe that once a person is baptized in water, they are also then baptized in the Holy Spirit and exhibit the consequent signs of the Spirit. There are those who believe baptism is the essential first step of obedience after conversion as a testimony to the world about what Christ has done in us. Some believe the proper mode of baptism is immersion, and some believe the proper mode of baptism is sprinkling. Some even believe that baptism for Christians replaces the practice of circumcision for the Jews. Of all the Christians I have met, not a single one has ever said they don't believe baptism to be important at all. And so, we have this in common. No matter what else we believe about baptism, we all believe that water baptism is important and biblical. And I think that's a good foundation to set. We already have more in common than we have that is different on this issue. We also believe Jesus is the one who saves us. And no Christian I know would ever claim that a person must save himself by his own works. Not even those who believe baptism washes away sin. Now, there are always allowances for the thief on the cross, for people who don't have access to water, and the like. Exploring the topic of baptism is a long and complex pursuit simply because of our interpretive history in the church, our interpretive history of the Bible. Instead of telling you what I think you ought to believe, here I simply want to take some time and encourage you to prayerfully go to the Bible, knowing that it is okay if you don't understand every single detail or inner working of God. It's okay if we don't agree on this matter, as long as we are pursuing Christ together. And know that God never requires us to know that, right? He never requires us to know everything. He is good. I also want to provide you with some basic tools for your own pursuit. I pray that instead of getting puffed up in our knowledge, we are all being conformed well to the image of Christ as we come together more and more. So, what exactly is baptism? Seems like a good place to start. What is baptism? In the West, especially in Protestant churches, we automatically think of ritual water baptism when we hear baptism. Now, the word baptism is a little more diverse than only referring to water baptism in the Bible. Now, the autographical language of the New Testament is Greek. We get our word baptism from the Greek baptisma, and that's a transliteration. That's not even a translation. It's just a transliteration there. Now, it literally means to be dipped or immersed in something. It doesn't even have to be water. When washing dishes, the Greeks would say in the language of the New Testament that the person washing dishes was baptizing the dishes. They aren't being saved, right? It did not only deal in terms of water. A snacker would baptize his chips in dip. It really is kind of a generic term. If you received an overload of information, like you're hearing now, you could use the Greek concept to say you have been baptized or immersed in this information. Baptism really was a more versatile word than we have made it in our modern Western Christianese, which adds, I think, a lot of confusion when people disagree about it. Even the New Testament authors used the term with versatility, not always talking about ritual water baptism. Now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, John the Baptizer referred to baptism as a water baptism. So that meaning is there. That meaning's not lost in the New Testament. It can mean that. But in Matthew 21:25, Jesus referred to that water baptism as the baptism of John, meaning the different sorts of baptism also have different sources. And according to Mark chapter 1, verse 4, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, which means different sorts of baptism from different sources accomplish different things. They signify or accomplish maybe things other than salvation. In Mark chapter 10, verses 38 through 39, Jesus claimed he would be baptized with a baptism other than John's baptism. And there he was referring to the baptism of his own death, synonymous with the cup he would drink. He would be immersed in death instead of water. His body would be overcome by death. Paul speaks of believers being baptized into Christ's death instead of in water in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And in John chapter 1, 29 through 34, John the Baptizer even claimed that while he baptized with water, Jesus would offer a better baptism than water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit rather than water. Instead of immersing people in water as a sign of their repentance, Jesus would actually baptize for real salvation in the Holy Spirit. He would immerse his people in his Spirit. Now, the New Testament authors understood John's clear claim. We can see the evidence when we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22, when he wrote clearly that baptism, immersion, that corresponds to Christ's dying in the flesh and being made alive in the Spirit now saves us. Yes, he said it. Peter clarified what kind of baptism, though. Not immersion in water that merely washes away dirt, but immersion in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a different kind of baptism. Now, if it's all the same, no one has to clarify their meaning, but the New Testament authors had to clarify what kind of baptism they were talking about when they talked about it. And it wasn't all water baptism. Now, I think much of the confusion about baptism simply comes from the fact that we assume the New Testament authors are always talking about our ritual definition of water baptism. However, we have seen it practiced or currently practice it within whatever tradition we find ourselves. I understand how difficult it is because we don't know what we don't know. Sometimes it's difficult to see past our own traditions and preconceptions. But it's important for us to think about the biblical uses of words as much as possible instead of superimposing our own definitions onto words for the sake of proving a point. The baptism issue isn't as cut and dry as we would make it. We have to look closely at how the biblical authors intentionally clarified their usage of the word baptism or immersion. But this leaves us with a lingering question. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? And we will read that we are saved by grace through faith, not by our works. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And then we will read that baptism saves us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Well, which is it? Are the New Testament authors opposed to one another? Is Paul preaching one gospel while Peter preaches another? Is Christ divided? Of course not. The Bible is the only set of scripture that was written over thousands of years by different authors. Some people will say that's a weakness. Look, it is a strength because we don't have to try to believe one person who receives some kind of weird secret knowledge and then consequently join a cult like, Islam, right? We don't have to do that. We can read the Bible critically. The Bible is not our God. Jesus is, so we can scrutinize it. We can discern that a different hand means a different human personality and a different use of words. And that's part of the challenge of reading the Bible, because not every book is unanimous and not every use of every single word is unanimous. They were literally separate works before they were compiled. And while Paul was careful enough with his language to not really use many words that could be interpreted to mean anything other than what he meant, specifically, because he was trained as a philosopher, the other New Testament authors weren't so careful. They were not trained as philosophers. Baptism has a wide range of meaning in the New Testament, as you have already heard, and the word is subject to the interpretation of the reader, which is why context matters. The New Testament authors had to constantly clarify what they meant when they used the word. And so we look at their clarification to determine what kind of baptism they're talking about. Most interpreters skip the clarification of the New Testament so they can impose their own meaning onto the text. And that's not a good habit. My primary goal here is to drive you to the Bible. But I do want to share my opinion on the matter. I am no authority. I don't care if everyone agrees with me. We are here to follow Christ together, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And it seems to me that since Peter clarified very plainly, he was not talking about baptism in water that washes away dirt, but baptism in the resurrection of Jesus, we should simply take him at his word. It's not immersion in water that saves us. It is immersion in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To claim that we are saved not as a result of works and that baptism in Christ's resurrection is what saves us, turns out it's not a contradiction after all. In fact, it looks like Paul and Peter have the same source of salvation, Christ alone. So yes, it seems to me we are saved by baptism, immersion. No, we are not saved by immersion in water. It is immersion into Christ, his work, his person, not ours. Even Christ instructed us in Matthew 28:18-20 to make disciples of all nations, immersing them, not in water, but in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and commanding them to observe all that Christ commanded. That baptism is in something other than water. And I hope this helps anyone who is thinking about a baptism question. If you have any questions about the Bible, please feel free to reach out, and I'll do my best to research that topic and get back with you. And look, there really is only one source for salvation. There really is only one name under heaven by which people can be saved. It is only not by our works being immersed in water, which only washes away dirt, according to Peter, but instead to be immersed in the person and the work of Christ alone. This is my plea to you, to put your faith in Christ alone and not in yourself for salvation. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot contribute to our salvation. All of that work was finished at the cross. Jesus' sacrifice is perfect. No more offering is needed for salvation. Trust in him. Put your faith in him. Repent. Believe the gospel. Be baptized in Christ. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Andrew Paul Cannon Podcast. Please feel free to subscribe here and to my blog at andrewpaulcannon.com. And if you are in my community, I invite you to check out Elex Southern Baptist Chapel. And you can check that out at alexsbc.church. That's alexsbc.church. And I will catch you next time.